TheTC3.com, your home for 7 decades of great music in the TCB Games AM Oldies program. Monty the Music Man Seaburns, episode number 12 of The Basics of Economic Development. It's a team sport. Mark Wickerham is here. He's got the bat ready to go. What's up?
Hey, well, this spring training season.
It is. Hope springs eternal.
Yeah. Today I'd like to talk a little bit about the Indiana Economic Development Corporation and a chance I had recently to attend what was referred to as a regional listening tour meeting with Indiana's new Secretary of Commerce, David Adams, and the state's new Executive Director of the Indiana Economic Development Corporation, Jeff Blade.
Right.
It was interesting. These are the two primary individuals who have been selected by Governor Braun to lead the administration's economic development initiatives for the next 4 years, and it was an honor to have been included in the group meeting. There were about 25 of us there, I suppose, Huntington Mayor Richard Strick joined us, and it was just an interesting experience, and it was a good refresher course for me. I mean, again, I'm starting my 18th year here, and I have 20 years in economic development, and it occurs to me, I first met Secretary Adams when we were both state employees during Mitch Daniels' administration as governor. Adams was asked by Daniels to sort out, and many of you may remember this, the various $50 billion pension program problems that the state government was confronted with when Daniels was elected governor. I mean, it was a daunting task. And then with Jeff Blade, I first met him when he was at Vera Bradley Designs in Fort Wayne. And the Vera Bradley connection is an interesting legacy story with the IEDC, is Patricia Miller, one of the two founders of Vera Bradley Corporation, took a leave of absence from Vera Bradley to serve as Mitch Daniels' Secretary of Commerce, and was also serving as the first CEO of the newly created Indiana Economic Development Corporation at the time.
Small world, isn't
it's
it?
It's a small world. But as a result, it's like, hey, I'm listening to people who are leading the state's efforts that actually have some things in common with. And when you add to the fact that Mayor Strick was a classmate at Huntington University of Lieutenant Governor Micah Beckwith, the Lieutenant Governor was actually one of my wife's students at Huntington University back in the day. This is a very encouraging time for us in economic development in the area. And for a little bit of background, in Indiana, the Secretary of Commerce has oversight of multiple state agencies. The Indiana Economic Development Corporation, the Indiana Department of Workforce Development, the Governor's Workforce Cabinet, the Indiana Destination Development Corporation, the Indiana Arts Commission, the Indiana State Fair, the ports of Indiana. I don't know, before I got involved with economic development, it never occurred to me that Indiana has two ports of entry. The Port of Gary, Indiana, on Lake Michigan, and that also serves the St. Lawrence Seaway corridor, and the port at Evansville on the Ohio River to take advantage of the Mississippi corridor going to the Gulf of Mexico. It's just really interesting that Indiana, in fact, has ports of entry.
It very much is. You could probably do a lot with that, economically speaking.
Oh, we do. The state really does. We do well with both. But as you can see, the Secretary of Commerce has a lot on their plate. In addition, the Secretary is responsible for the strategies to create economic opportunities and foster entrepreneurial development and innovation. And so they delegate then to report to the Secretary an executive director or leadership role person that reports through each of these agencies to the Secretary of Commerce to help things move along. But also, Adams, prior to becoming even involved in government, he was the managing partner of his own consulting group in Boston. He did serve a term as Indiana's commissioner of the Department of Workforce Development, and he worked with Governor Eric Holcomb's administration. Prior to that, he was in higher ed at the University of Cincinnati and the University of Louisville. So for those Cincinnati Reds fans out there, we're still trying to figure out if our Secretary of Commerce can help us win some games this year.
or at least get us some ripos, yeah, right?
Yeah. But the other thing about Adams is that Secretary Adams, he has a degree from the School of Engineering at the University of Evansville. University of Louisville, and he holds a bachelor's degree and master's degree in industrial engineering. So it's really interesting to have your economic development system overall headed by an engineer. I mean, this just cuts to the chase on what we as a show have been talking about, right? The basics of economic development. In the listening meeting, he had multiple questions for several people in the room about, okay, what are your target, what are your target industry clusters? By the way, that's a show coming up, but it's like, how are you systematically going about your economic development efforts? What types of jobs are you looking for? What types of salary ranges and pay ranges are you looking for? How does it integrate with a strategy that makes sense for developing our regions and our state? And he wasn't... Have you ever been in a meeting where somebody's answer sounds like credible crap? You ever hear that?
Yes.
Okay.
When I host it.
Well, and I'm guilty. I mean, I'm guilty as charged. But it's like he does not want to hear credible crap. He wants good answers. And that was refreshing.
Well, it is, and plus it really inspires, sometimes we call the domino theory. So he's wanting that, and then it sort of is a contagious thing, and now everyone's like, yeah, we can do this.
Right, exactly. And then with Jeff Blade, again, coming out of Vera Bradley, he's just been a really strong leader in managing business development, not only at Vera Bradley, but he was with Steak and Shake for a while.
Yeah.
How many times have we heard rumors in the community that we want a Steak and Shake?
Oh.
So it's just really fun to have, two leaders that have that kind of background and experience with no-nonsense approaches to economic development. So I'm looking forward to how they lay out their agenda and so forth. But the other thing that was interesting, I mentioned earlier, I'm in my 18th year now at HQ, and had 2 years at the state at IEDC before that. I mean, over that period of time, this is my fourth gubernatorial administration. And so it's like with the previous three, these listening meetings, you were either a primary employer or a political donor. The field teams that are out there, trying to do the work on a daily basis, we got sort of left behind in the early days of the meetings. So it was really nice and a refreshing change that field practitioners were front and center on the first round of listening meetings.
Well, and it really creates a feeling of familiarity with those who are in earnest trying to do economic development, because now you're like, yeah, not only are you doing this in a leadership role, but you work with companies like Vera Bradley and others.
Right. They've been there and done it.
Right. They've got the T-shirts, so that's really awesome.
Yep. They have the T-shirts. Yeah. That's well put. But they were, by the way, very well dressed. They were professional. But during our meeting, both the Secretary and Director Blade outlined four themes that the Braun administration is going to be pursuing in economic development terms. Theme number one is human capital development. And I'm telling you, it is at the front and center of every industrial development project I've ever done. The first question is, do you have the workforce talent necessary for my company to be successful? And so how we go about answering that question and developing talent is first and foremost on their list of what to do. But they want results. They're not interested in yeah, you tried, yeah, you threw money at something. I mean, they want productivity on that front and demonstrated results. The second theme that they were going to work on is understanding our regions and regionalizing our activities. Now, what do they mean? Because depending on how you view that question, I mean, we've had this discussion in other shows. You know, if you're a fan of Adam Smith, economic development might mean something different than if you're a fan of Friedrich Engels. I mean, it just kind of depends on your perspective what the same words mean. Well, the first thing that both the Secretary of Commerce and the Director of IEDC emphasized to our group is the idea of transparency and trust.
Yes.
If you don't have transparency and trust, you probably don't want regional discussions going on because you don't know what that means, you don't know what it could end up resulting in. And what you don't want is some sort of random, uninformed effort to pick winners and losers in our economy. So they're trying to figure out regionalization from a perspective of transparency and trust, but underneath it all is the fundamentals that were researched and presented by Dr. Michael Porter back in the 1990s on cluster development theories and so forth. He was a member of the Harvard University School of Business, and his theories and policy papers are still at the heart of the basics of economic development. And over the years, others have tried to expand on them, others have tried to rebrand all of those themes. But in our next show, we'll talk about the details of what Dr. Porter actually was talking about. But using those with integrity and transparency and developing trust will be incredibly helpful to regionalizing efforts at economic development.
Well, and you mentioned transparency and trust, and it seems to me anyway, as a person that's not any kind of expert in economic development, but it seems the common sense approach with that transparency, you know exactly what's going on, the community knows exactly what's going on, thus that breeds trust.
Well, it does, and it's particularly important right now in the culture that we have with the combination of politics. You're in demand there.
I am. Boy, they're just hitting me left and right. And it happens sometimes on a Friday morning. Anyway, go ahead.
So in our political, and maybe that's why I said something about political culture and the phone goes nuts.
It does.
But we have that pressure, and we have the pressure of social media and content drivers and that sort of thing. So it becomes even more important that the people who are actually organizing strategic plans to be implemented really genuinely are benevolent in how they do this on behalf of the community. It's critically important. The third thing that the Secretary talked about as a priority, once we figure out the genuine regionalization details, then it becomes a notion of how do you proactively target and recruit and do expansion efforts based on your existing regional assets. He highlighted the Indianapolis metro area in that discussion by talking about, hey, we're based on Eli Lilly and Elanco and the Indy 500 and the Indianapolis Colts and so forth. And so what sorts of business development activities take place in that environment, and how do you successfully grow your activities and your opportunities based on the assets that are currently there? It leads to an interesting discussion. The last thing that he talked about was innovation, the last theme, innovation on Indiana's main streets. So what we've realized is we have a combination of discussions going on in rural Indiana in particular. How do you revitalize a downtown physically and economically? And in this case, the state's looking at a combination approach to both by working with innovative ways for business development to take place with businesses themselves, which are innovative, and how do you then solve the infrastructure and physical issues that are faced by downtowns throughout the state. So it'll really be interesting. And again, on that point, he highlighted the fact that, you know, there are 92 counties in the state of Indiana. There have been 92 different ways of approaching this problem. But when we realize there are 64 rural counties in Indiana and 28 metro counties, it gets a little bit easier to figure out an approach to doing this sort of work. So it was a good meeting. I'm looking forward to continuing to interact with the state, and I think good things are going
to
happen.
Is this going to be like an annual event, or are they going to try to do more of them throughout the year just to really push for people to participate together? How does that look?
Well, I specifically don't answer for them. I can tell you what I'm aware of.
Okay.
What I'm aware of is that this was the first. They've had two meetings outside of Indianapolis. They met in Lafayette earlier in the day. On the meeting March 11th, and then in Fort Wayne. They're going to do the same thing in the southern part of the state. And then from there, they're doing a series of follow-up meetings as appropriate with people that were, like, for example, I've already had two emails from Director Blade's office wanting to meet directly with me to learn more about Huntington County specifically. And also to learn more about my experiences when I worked at the IEDC. And I'm just one example, and I know there are a lot of others that are coming. But that said, it's up to the elected officials to get the broader public input, right? And the governor is getting through this legislative session right now, his first session, and as they come out of session in late April, they'll hit the road again on a listening tour and at the from the perspective of the elected officials. So this is just the beginning, and it's off to a good start, and there's more to come.
Love it. Well, again, thank you for another great program.
You're welcome.
All right, we're going to get back into some great music right here on the Z.